It's time to go out and...
Hey, boys and girls, from that oxygen... less rich nightclub at the end of the world here in, outside of Crestone, Colorado. It's another Sunday night. It is September 23rd, 2012, the autumnal equinox. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are entering the last quarter of the last year of the Mayan calendar. And for a fact, we know that it will complete on December 21st, a 26,000-year cycle called the Precession of the Equinoxes, which the Mayans had nailed to a T. Now, don't fill in the dots about what's coming next, because we've been trying to paint a picture that it's quite possible there's something good coming next, in spite of the fact that things are really, really sideways, screwy, upside down, and inside out. First thing I got to do is give you guys an update on my dog, Rags. I can't believe it. I put something up on Facebook, and there's like 57 comments for my dog. I put a picture up. He's had surgery recently, and he's doing good. He's recovering well. He's the same doofusy self, but he's healing okay. He goes in Wednesday, and the stitches come out. He's off of pain meds. And he's just starting to put a little weight on that left rear foot, so he's doing good. So everybody who wrote, I want to thank you all for that. Look, I got a lot of correspondence. Thank you guys for writing. I really appreciate it. I want to give another thanks to Grandma Coco, who's just going crazy out there. She's sending me stuff that's rocking the boat and really giving me some amazing downloads. We like the downloads. I'm still working on this Abraham Hicks, and Abraham Hicks is a she, by the way. You'll find him, her, on YouTube. Very interesting stuff there that's starting to make some sense with a lot of other things that are going on. It's a magical world out here, and you have to believe in magic, especially given the situation of the world. Two from Grandma Coco. Keep them coming. I'm going to save him for last. Somebody named Scott sent me a wonderful postcard saying that he was somewhere in Atlanta, I guess, and sent me a postcard. But I know five Scotts, so I have no idea which one this is, and I don't recognize the handwriting. But thank you. It was a very cool postcard. Really good. Some lengthy letters and some just really cool friendly letters. I want to say a special thanks to... Hold on, I just dropped the envelope on the floor. Mark Billups. Mark Rags says, thank you very much. Dude, thank you very much. One guy named G. Sene or Sene, unfortunately tuned in last week and heard me talking about Darwin and completely misunderstood what I was talking about. But he nonetheless sent me a 12-page or 6-page, 8-page typewritten letter telling me where I was wrong, but he didn't really quite get what I was coming from when I was talking about Charles Darwin. What is very clear is that the evolutionary record is now clear that man did not evolve from apes or from some other species. That there is a 1.5 million year gap in evolution of our certain genes, especially those having to do with the jaw and the ankles. Greg Braden does a wonderful job of summarizing the science and making the cogent points about that. So I'd recommend going to YouTube, looking for the Greg Braden video, Deep Truth, Igniting the Memory of Our Origin, History, Destiny, and Fate. And that'll clarify what I was talking about with Darwin. So, okay, so it's been another week in Crestone. This is before we get to the heavy news and stuff, and there's some amazing stuff happening. I'm adapting to this amazingly strange, wonderful, eerie place. It's 8,100 feet, and it's one of the driest places that I've ever seen in my life. I got to drink like 4 liters of water today. Maybe it's like being in Afghanistan. But there is enormous synchronicity going on in the town. There's this wonderful cafe called the Bliss Cafe, and there are days when you go in there, and I swear it looks like the bar scene from Star Wars. There are 7 or 8, 9, I don't know how many serious spiritual retreats. Dalai Lama has a retreat. There's a Zen Buddhist. 3 or 4 different versions of Buddhism, I think, have... retreats here. The Carmelites do. The Hindus do. It's just and there's a reason. This is like Tibet. And so I'm here dancing, and I went to a dance Friday night. I really needed to dance. Good bands, good music. That was really good to see. But when you're dancing at 8,100 feet in a super dry climate, what was cool is it's custom here that somebody will walk around the dance floor. There's a 125-minute song just handing water to everybody. And it was amazing how kind of tribal that experience was. And all of us participating in sharing with this with the climate and the environment here on Mother Earth. It's a very special place here, and I'm just getting my feet wet in it. But I'm glad I'm here. I understand we got a caller on the phone. I wasn't quite ready for calls yet, but Josh, you there?
Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah. I wanted to call in about what you've been saying about Darwin. I've followed you for a while, and I think you're a great reporter and a journalist, and you're right on the money with everything about peak oil and 9/11. I've read all your books, and I've seen the movie and everything, and I saw you speak in Grass Valley. And but the stuff about Darwin, I've watched the Greg Braden stuff and the David Wilcock stuff, and this stuff is not endorsed by the mainstream scientific community at all, and you're saying this stuff about competition. And it's not about competition, it's about cooperation. There's nothing in evolution that says cooperation is against evolution. Cooperation is a pure part of
you, evolution. Man, you're making a lot of points, and your attitude sounds like really combative, like you want to attack me, and I'm not in kind of a place where I want to receive that, because I don't think you're hearing exactly what I'm saying. But it is clear Greg Braden is not the source. Greg Braden cites the sources in the video, Deep Truth, Igniting the Memory of Our Origin, History, Destiny, and Fate. And he is not alone. He is not a sole source. There are many other scientists who are very clear that Darwin was incorrect in assuming that we had evolved from a specific strain of monkey. We did not. The science is very clear that there's a 1.5 million year gap. There's all of a sudden, and what is very clear and acknowledged across the spectrum now, is that there have been several very intense periods of mass evolution on this planet where species changed, and just it was like a spontaneous global event. And so what I was talking about with Darwin, and you're kind of taking me off the whole theme for my show here, so I'm not going to spend too much time doing on this because I don't want to argue about this, is that there's a lot more to how we got here than we have been told.
Okay, yeah, because you even said like a month ago that you were losing it, so it's just interesting that you're going down this path, but you were on such a good path before. But
I'm on a great path now, and I really thank you for calling in, but I have a show to do, dude, and I'm not going to let you take it over tonight. Bye. Okay, that happens. You guys go look at the stuff for yourself and make up your own mind. I certainly have no problem with where I'm going. So let's go to the headlines tonight. Let's go to the stuff that's heavy out there. It's been if you followed me for a while, you will know that it has been a long time since I've really paid detailed, focused attention to the news, and that's because I concluded very quickly that it was just useless because it was kind of an endless Groundhog Day cycle. But there have been new developments lately, some of which I predicted in Crossing the Rubicon, that are very serious. And they do indicate what we have all known was coming anyway, that human industrial civilization, that this whole crazy, corrupt, brutal, violent, uncooperative, hostile mess is coming to an end. That's the woohoo part. This is from Agence France-Presse, Leon Panetta, Defense Secretary. China, Japan heading towards war. China and other Asian countries could end up at war over territorial disputes if governments keep up their provocative behavior, U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has said. Speaking to reporters before arriving in Tokyo on a trip to Asia, Mr. Panetta appealed for restraint amid mounting tensions over territorial rights in the East China Sea and the South China Sea. quote, I am concerned that when these countries engage in provocations of one kind or another over these various islands, that it raises the possibility that a misjudgment on one side or the other could result in violence and could result in conflict, Mr. Panetta said when asked about a clash between Japan and China, and that conflict would have the potential of expanding. Well, the background for this very clearly is that as I wrote in Crossing the Rubicon, I have the pages pulled out here. I'm not going to, you know it's there. You know I wrote it 8 years ago, and I described it perfectly. The South China Sea, there are small deposits of natural gas and oil, comparatively speaking, but that route also is astride the tanker routes for all of the tanker shipments that supply Japan, China, and Korea with oil. And it was very apparent to me some, you know, eight, nine years ago that this was going to be a flashpoint. It is. We have seen massive riots in China, destruction of Japanese plants, attacks on Japanese, calls for nuclear war. That situation is cannot do anything except get hotter, and this was the end point of that. It's not, this is simple arithmetic. You cross a threshold. Now, there might be a little back off the night in that supposedly all Chinese patrol boats have left the area of the Senkakus. That could be good or that could be bad. But those tensions remain very high. And here's a kudos to the folks at CollapseNet.com, CollapseNetwork.com. They're really on top of the stories. They had a good story on the World News Desk this week pointing out the obvious, which is that by treaty, the United States is obligated to fight with Japan against China. So, those tensions aren't going away. But that was a very, very alarming story, and that situation is just as alarming as what is happening with Iran. And we will come back to that. That'll be the last story. The losses in the anti-Japanese protests in China are 10 billion yen. Now, Japan is already dying, of course, from Fukushima and debt and everything else. But the point is we are really at the place now where we expect the big chunks to start falling off. And I've had an epiphany about how we'll know that. Former ECB chief economist says ECB is in panic as Czech president warns the end of democracy is imminent. That whole house of cards, along with the whole economic house of cards, of course, is coming down. Quantitative easing 3 is the trigger to bring everything down. And if you want my opinion on what's behind this, because all these protests are, they're orchestrated, they're manufactured. We even had, Salman Rushdie came out and said, these riots aren't about the anti-Muhammad movie. Of course they aren't. They are manufactured, and the underlying thing here is quantitative easing 3, which almost put us to currency wars and triggered the Arab Spring last year. That's what's going on. All that means is the whole economic paradigm is really coming apart now. There's an interesting development this week. Got to hit some water here. Very interesting development this week. There's a controversial 9/11 film soared to number one on PBS, and it was breaking local records all over the country. The movie is called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, by a group that's been around for a long time, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and it was directed by Richard Gage, who I believe has been there since day one. What do I say in response to that? More water. See, 8,000 feet. You got to drink water. I said it's a bittersweet congratulations. It's too late. Doesn't make any difference. And but God, the work they put into that. They didn't give up for 11 years. And I guess that's to their credit. And I guess that they have achieved what they wanted, I guess, at some level, which was to achieve a breakthrough in public consciousness. But following that through, what they wanted was action. And it's too late. And even if, and I hope everybody on the planet watches the film, but how do we compare that to what's happening now with the collapse of human industrial civilization? In 2005, I gave my largest lecture at Portland State, University of Washington, Seattle. Thank you. And I had these pictures of elephants who have run over and are running away. And you don't worry about the elephants that have already run you over. You look at the herd of crazed bulls that are charging right at you, which is collapse. And in 2005, it was clear. But nonetheless, were something to come of that with the movie, then they would have to prove something. But you got to prove something in court. And it has been very clear that you can't legally make the case that who did 9/11 just by proving that the buildings didn't fall down as a result of planes. So, but I gave the whole case with the motive, means, and opportunity in crossing the Rubicon. And again, it's a bittersweet moment to look back, but that was the Rubicon. That was when we crossed the line. So, but a high five to them. You know, somebody's thinking something. I'm not sure what that means in the overall picture. And also tragic tonight is that debris from the tsunami in Fukushima has now started landing on the shores in Hawaii. I mean, it is all falling apart. And then the last story that I saw today was that Iran may launch a preemptive strike. This is a confirmed statement from the Iranian military. It's on RT. Iran may launch preemptive strike on Israel. A conflict could grow into World War III, senior commander. Well, of course, you know that's what I've been telling you since 2001, or before that, 1999. That would be a world-ending attack. But the story is kind of powerful. It says an Iranian military official has warned that military conflict between Iran and Israel could turn into World War III. He added that if Israel is putting the final touches on attacking Iran, a preemptive strike against Tel Aviv would ensue. Israel cannot imagine the force of Iran's response if Tel Aviv attacks it. Brigadier General Amir Ali Hajizadeh, excuse me for mispronouncing it, Hajizadeh told Iran's Arabic language television network it will sustain heavy damage and that will be a prelude to its obliteration. This is amazing bellicosity, but the posturing or the verbal posturing is being backed up by deployments, by actions, and clearly it's because there's no place left for these guys to run. There is just no place left for them to go. With their schemes and plans, and this is about the time when everybody reaches for the fuck it button, you know, and that's exactly what it looks like is happening. Now, of course, Iran made it very clear that if Israel attacks it or they attack, there will be an instant attack also on the United States. Iran said very clearly, this is a war between Iran and the U.S., so we remember that China and Russia have committed to join Iran's side. So, see, that sounds really, really bad. But it's funny, there was this interview that I did with Max Kaiser, who most of you know from Russia Today, but it was for Press TV, which is the Iranian state press agency. And I put it up on my Facebook page. You can find it there. And it's had really good response. The funny thing is I taped this interview with Max Kaiser 3 months ago. I mean, it's when I was still in Sebastopol. This was almost at this. This was the same week that I found out I was going to lose the place up there. But it was so interesting. And I really encourage you to go watch this because what I kept saying to Max was truly what I see. Especially in all of the headlines that I just read you, is the fact that the old paradigm is dead. It's dying. I mean, hooray, it's failing. And I do not believe we still have a choice that it's going to kill all of us or take us all with it. It would like to, but I believe it's already lost. It has a great deal to do with all of the spiritual talking I've been doing over the last 3 or 4 months. From AA and everything else to show clearly that a spiritual approach is a very real option, one that has been documented to work throughout all 12-step programs, and that clearly it's the only thing that will work, and it may be underway, but I'm seeing so much of this stupidity as something that is helping us all realize that we do not stand a chance if we view this as I, me, my family against the rest of the world. We only have a chance if we realize that all 7 billion of us are sharing in this fate together. And that's our way out. I'm going to be talking more about that later on in the show. But that now is a very good time to play our song tonight. This is one of the four or five songs that are really mostly my song, word, music, and concept. And it's very bittersweet to play tonight, but it's good for me because I've had some good spiritual stuff happen today. Some understandings came. Because I recognize that all of these apparently bad things might be leading us to something very, very special. So when the prophecy is fulfilled, it might not turn out as bad as we all think. Here's a song called A Weird Kind of Sense.
Oh, what a mess we left you. Oh, what a mess we left you. Against the odds and other gods, we left you such a mess. Posting on the tea and champagne. Left but a dried stain, camped by the fire in full moonlit time, under the change of a changing world of vain. What a mess we left you. What a mess we left you. This is not tomorrow. Today is not a drill. Makes a weird kind of sense. Yesterday needs no warning, and the prophecies fulfilled. What a mess we left here. Makes a weird kind of sense. What a mess we left here. See the screen become a what a mess we left here. More and more intent. What a mess we left here. Tearing down. That God in heaven sent. What a mess we left you. It's a weird kind of sin. What a mess we left you. It's a weird kind of sin. What a mess we left you. It's a weird kind of sin. What a mess we left you. It's a weird kind of sin. What a mess we left you. It's a weird kind of sin. What a mess we left you.
That was Weird Kind of Sense from New White Trash. That's my band with Dougie Lewis, newwhitetrash.com, one of 37 originals. You can check that out. Here's the perfect follow-up to that song. Headline story. Are you ready for this? Neglect ruins Imelda Marcos's vast shoe collection. Now, just think about that for a second. Is that not the perfect metaphor for this world that we're living in right now? This was, you remember, Imelda Marcos had, you know, I don't know, tens of thousands, 5,000 pairs of shoes. She was just this total shoe junkie, freak, addict, weirdo. And they got a picture up here on, it's an Associated Press story. Termite storms and neglect have damaged. And isn't that the perfect metaphor for all the wealth, all of the stuff that the 1% have socked away? But even for all the stuff that we socked away, but as a species, as a civilization, in this paradigm, in this meme that is ending of consume, rape, loot, pillage, plunder, and screw up Mother Earth, screw up the house we live in. Imelda Marcos's shoe collection has rotted. Kind of reminds you of the statues on Easter Island, I guess. But anyway. So, now, I'm really in a good mood because some really good stuff is happening. Last week, though, I got to tell you, a caller recommended two films by Michael Sarian. Well, I'm not even going to spell the guy's name. Well, I checked one of them out called Esoteric Agenda, and if you thought about checking out any of those movies, let me just save you some time. They're complete bullshit, and they're poorly executed disinformation, just like we can see even in the most prestigious mainstream media. I'm not going to let them snatch victory here by digressing to comment on what I saw. Just don't waste your time. Just take my word for it, because my word means something. You know, so today, I'll do this before we go to break, and then we'll come back. And if you want to call in, you want to send an email, the number is 1-888-874-4888, 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me directly with any questions or comments at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com, lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. So today was the autumnal equinox, and I went to a beautiful medicine wheel ceremony in Native American tradition. The elder who ran it was wonderful, Lorraine Fox Davis. She was fabulous. Amazing stories, this woman. And there were about 30 people there, and it was a very beautiful experience for me. This is what I took from it, and this is what I like so much. And this also leads into where my studies have been going this last week, too. In that, the prayers that were offered to the four winds, to the morning star, to the moon, to Mother Earth, Father Sky, seemed to, as the ceremony progressed around the wheel, seemed to weave everything together so that as we were acknowledging that we started the last quarter of 2012, that we were on the home stretch. And boy, there was a lot of awareness. There was a lot of power there. and there were songs. And we all offered our own prayers, little offerings of tobacco. And it was something that when it was finished, you just felt that sense of belonging and being a part of everything on the planet again, as opposed to lonely, separate, different, afraid, detached, and whatever. It was a great ceremony, which leads to a lot of the good spiritual stuff. I'm going to take a break, get some more water. We're rolling up on a station break. This is Michael Rupert on the Lifeboat Hour at PRN.FM. We'll be right back. Sierra Morning. I had some emails from Diane this week. I'm keeping in touch. She's busy performing out on the West Coast, but apparently she's got some really new hot material songs that she's writing. Said she's going into studio with a kick-ass producer. And all I can say is we're all eagerly waiting to see what you come out with, Diane, because you write music that really belongs with the vibe of this show and that so many of our listeners have responded to. You can find her stuff at DianePatterson.com, so she's doing good. Okay. So we're back after the break. Let me talk about what's been coming clear to me as a result of my reading, studies, and downloads this week. I've been continuing in the Graham Hancock book, Master Game, which is very dense. It's very thickly researched, but it all goes to drive home certain very powerful points, one of which is the absolute consistency throughout history. And now I'm talking essentially from where he comes from the viewpoint of the Western world or the Egyptian, Hellenistic, Greek, Roman, Western traditions and Christianity and the history thereof and the roots thereof, is there has been an utterly consistent drive, not just throughout Christendom, but I think the Romans did too, to some extent, but to persecute a specific thread, if you will, of spiritual beliefs. And I mentioned them last week, the Bogomils, the Cathars, the Manichaeans, but later I think the Hermetics really evolved from the Greek god Thoth, who all held a view that this was probably the lowest dimension of existence, the lowest and densest that could be found. But all of which also held a consistent theme of reconciliation with Mother Earth. Now, the Cathars and Bogomils didn't. They thought the material world was evil, but I believe they were incorrect. But they did have a correct interpretation of matter. But then during the course of the week, other information came about ancient Russian history, that the Russian language is many, many thousands, like 3,000-4,000 years old, and also had roots in a very coherent reverence for Mother Earth, this planet, and a living, working relationship with nature. Now, does any of this start to sound familiar? It seems like, and especially with the genocide of the American Indians and indigenous peoples all throughout the Western Hemisphere, Australia, and Africa, that's been the one thing that the cruelty, let's take of the Catholic Church, which is just unbelievably documented in Hancock's book, of course. One could look at the church today with all of its scandals and look at all the people it's burned at the stake and massacred and say it is the devil's church. It behaves like the devil. But the vehemence, the drive to kill the knowledge that there is power. There is power in living in harmony with nature and Mother Earth and listening. I saw an amazing DVD called, hold on, it's sitting right here behind my desk. I'll make sure I get the title right. It's called In Search of the Future, which it sounds like a Leonard Nimoy thing. It's not. It's a brilliant documentary with interviews with some of the most amazing elders and shaman that I've ever seen on tape, and just some amazing stories in there about the Hopi and all that. But there's this one guy from Mexico, and I love the way he was talking. He said, the trees want to help you. The water wants to help you. The birds, the animals, everything wants to help you. And we have forgotten that inherent relationship, and I think that's the remembering that's coming back, because by hook or by crook we are going to have to learn how to live that way again. If you take the worst case scenario, those that survive will do that simply because it's a way of living in balance so that your children can live. Brody in Washington, are you there? Got a call.
Yes, Michael. Thank you. I was wondering, your path has led me to other research as well, and I've looked at Payne Andoff and other people who suggest that a lot of changes will occur when Planet Nibiru or Planet X returns sometime during the December 21st period. Do you have any opinion on that occurring? Or
I am well familiar with it, and I can't say that I endorse it by it completely, but I do not discount it. Because what I've become so aware of is the extent to which we have been lied to about everything. And the most important lies are who we are, how we got here, what our purpose here is on this planet, and a lot of hidden history. I don't say that's not possible. I don't say it is. Something on that level, though, is imminent. Whether you look at it as Nibiru, which is supposed to be our planet that passes back through the solar system once over, many thousands of years, comes close. But I take that, and then I listen to, and this is a very interesting thread of research that I'm pursuing, I listen to the Hopi prophecy about the Red Kachina.
Right.
Now, there is another school of thought that says that once every 26,000 years, a massive pulse of energy emanates from the core of the galaxy. It hits here every 26,000 years, and this is the cause of many spontaneous evolutions. We know that the astrophysics of that is pretty much correct, and that that might turn our sun into a red giant, which might also be the Red Kachina. Now, this is not to put this down or seem vague or evasive, because what I'm seeing as I'm digging deeper into this, and this is Tracker of Truth, and this may be where my next train of work goes, is that many people have very important pieces, but nobody has the whole picture. I remember seeing a film clip of Don Alejandro, who is the chief of the Mayan people. He's the head Mayan. And he's the guy who says, this doesn't mean the world's coming to an end. It means, a new golden age is coming. Follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart. Which matches the Greg Braid science of love is an energy, and energy is what creates. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I from what I've seen from the face-to-face or first-person contact I've had with elders and with indigenous peoples and correspondence I've had elsewhere, is that not everybody is saying they have the exact right picture. Everybody knows they have something sacred, and they have held on to something sacred over 5,000 years of persecution. How many generations of people is that who it would take for the Hopis or the Lakota or the Mayans or the Incas or, the Kalahari Bushmen or whatever to hold on to a sacred piece of truth, which is apparently what the religions that the Catholic Church was persecuting, whether they be indigenous religions or the Cathars, the Bogomils, the Hermetics, which is where all of the... People through however many thousands of years since the big lie came, and various peoples have held on to sacred pieces of truth through so much suffering, and yet I have yet to encounter anyone that says we know it all or we have it all. So take that back to your question about planet Nibiru. I don't know.
Yeah.
What is consistent, however, across everything, is that at the end of this 26,000 year cycle, so I think something significant will happen on the day of. It may not mean everything changes. But within this time window, which seems to be a very clear consensus, something on the order like that is going to happen.
Yeah, to me it's very interesting how all the Hopi and other indigenous people prophecies all seem to agree on something occurring at this time. I had the unknown pleasure of taking Dalai Lama to meet with the Hopi Indian elders in 1980.
Mm.
At that time, I didn't even know who he was. I drove him down there in my pickup truck. But I did have the pleasure of seeing the Prophecy Rock, and I thought many times about the significance of that.
Mm-hmm. Prophecy Rock's amazing.
Yeah, and as time goes on, I just find it very interesting how all of these things come together to one point.
For the listeners, let me just jump on that. Prophecy Rock is a rock, and there's a good footage of it in the video that I just mentioned in Search of the Future. It's a huge, gigantic rock. And it appears to be well formed geometrically, but there are two lines, and one line goes all the way around the rocket. I'm talking about, what was it, you know, 50, 60, 80 feet or whatever, you know, the line just keeps going to infinity. But there's another line which kind of symbolizes the material world, the material consciousness, the paradigm that's ending right now. And Prophecy Rock shows that there are crossover points, correct me if I'm getting any of this wrong, where you have free will choice to move back and forth between one or the other. But after a certain cutoff point, that world ends, which would be the world that we see ending now. But those that had crossed back over onto the other path, meaning the path of love and unity with everything, continued on infinitely. How did I do with that, Brody?
You did well. I don't want to go on too long, but I find one website, and I'm not promoting it other than it's a great source of information, is Ping Andoff. Fascinating tie-ins with crop circles and planetary mm-hmm. alignments.
Mm-hmm.
It's just well-researched and very to the point, and waiting for the good changes to come. It's not all negative. It's not a bad thing that this is.
No. Look forward to this with love, and you know that is also so utterly consistent, not only with the hard science that people like Greg Braden and David Wilcock are telling us about, but with the actual practice of Native American spirituality. It's the same thing. You either live in love or fear, and what you vibrate with is literally going to determine what you get. I believe that.
And that seems to be the most important point.
Exactly. Totally, man. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. So that was a great question, I'm really glad he called, because that was a good thread, and that was a critical point. I don't see anybody out here who is aware. Now, it's interesting he mentioned the Dalai Lama, because in Crestone, like I said, the Dalai Lama's got a retreat here, and I just went up there and meditated last week. But so there's a very powerful portal here, and I'm learning how to live here. It really requires a lot of Zen. A lot of Tao, just to go with the flow and drink a lot of water and keep expecting something good. But there's magic here. I mean, the synchronicities are just stupid. I was in a meeting with the local newspaper editor, Kizan, at the Crestone Eagle, very nice lady. And we were talking about all of this, and I'm going to be speaking here in Crestone on October 14th. It'll be out in the paper on the 1st. I'll put another link up on Facebook. Talking about all this, and we were kind of optimistic at the end of this, all of us being aware that there's just so much energy flowing right now. And she said, you know, what we said was, well, you know what we got to do is just let it be. Yeah, great. Okay, I'll see you later. So I walk across the street to this little market in town. It's actually a block away, and I walk in the door, and they've got Let It Be by the Beatles playing. This kind of stuff happens in Crestone like five times a day. It's wonderful to experience. It does feel kind of magical. So anyway, going back to where we are with all this, in the interview that I did with Max Kaiser, it's 20 plus minute interview that got big play on Press TV. They sat on it for 3 months. I love they ran it today, especially if you watch it. Find it on my Facebook page. He was a great foil. We had a great exchange. He said, "Yeah, man, but you know, all these laws are being passed to stop people from growing their own food, and they're going to do it." And I said, "Well, no, Max, because everything negative now is producing something positive." And I said, "Those may be happening two or three times, but that's for scare. They generate some press. They make people afraid. It's not a campaign to shut people down. The market or the commodity that the powers that be are trading in now is fear. If you even glance, I've saved you the trouble, but you understand what's happening out there. And it's the fear that they want, because it's the fear that's the only way that they can conceive of to govern. But it's coming to an end. That's why we have the choice to live between fear and love. So I was on Facebook. So Facebook's been very active today. But let me go back to Max in this interview. He would bring up a point, and suddenly I was aware, like the flick of a switch, a change of perspective. He was talking about how Walmart controls the food and GMOs and Monsanto. And I said, yeah, Max, but you got to understand that now around the world there are hundreds of millions of people who are permi-organic farmers growing food locally. And there's, you know, and that's the thing to focus on. And it just became clear to me throughout this interview, in which I sounded, I kind of blew Max Keiser away. Positive, I said, but because he started talking about some of the really awful stuff, like this was 3 months ago, but there was a rider passed to attached to a bill that required the Secretary of Agriculture to automatically approve any genetically modified organism in a food product, even if it was known to be harmful. Now that's about as egregious as Barack Obama getting the NDAA and throwing out habeas corpus. You just wonder how are they ever going to top this again. But then as you step back and look at it from a different perspective, doesn't it tell you how desperate they are? Doesn't it tell you how flailing about they are? What I said in this interview was, you know, Max said, talked about the shale gas people saying, we have enough gas for 1,000 years, whatever. You know, and I was coming to, I need some water, hold on. 8,000 feet, drink water or die. And I was coming back saying, it's ludicrous. It's patently, obviously ludicrous. There were police out at the Olympics able to write $35,000 tickets or something for brand name infringement, for knockoffs. It doesn't make sense. And that, to me, is the sign that reminds me so much of what the Third Reich was doing in March of 1945. We have a soup of heaven. We have proof that we have everything here that we need to win this war. And the pathetic bleating of that thing is almost laughable. And we will know that we have won, that the paradigm has fully shifted, that we've reached the 100th monkey when everybody just starts laughing at governments and at mainstream media and at corporations and ignores them. Then we'll know we've won. Now, the epiphany, guys, I had recently as I'm reading through the news stories now, because, yes, I'm paying close attention because these are serious now, and it's in line with the fact that there is some kind of clock running between now and the end of the year. We'll know that it's time to duck and cover, that it's time to dig your foxhole, get small and hide when any of the stories that, like I was talking about tonight, China versus Japan, U.S., Iran, whatever, becomes like a front page news on Bloomberg, CNN, and Reuters at the same time. When you see that happen, I just picked those three, but you get my import, because none of the mainstream media is giving full, respectful, the warranted coverage to any of these stories, but they will have to. You cannot not cover a nuclear war. You cannot not cover things like that. And when they do, that'll be just a moment or two before lights out. And what happens when lights out happens is that a new set of lights are going to be coming on. And that's what we want to be geared for, by all measures. There's a guy, I have a friend on Facebook, Robert Landrum, and he's been paying close attention. And he, like a lot of other people out here, see how scary things are right now. And we all know that we are at the crisis point or the climax. And he was scared, and no fault to you. He was all worried about, geez, I hope I didn't have enough of this. I didn't do enough of that. And I wish I'd have done more of this, and I wish I could have. And I emailed him back on Facebook, and it was very clear. This is one of the biggest lessons that I ever learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, which was, you know, true spiritual power. Was that the more you focus on what you haven't done, what you think you haven't done, the more that magnifies. So what I encouraged him to do was, because he'd been following me and my work, I guess, for a couple of years, and you know, some of you have been with me for much, much longer than that, was instead of worrying about what you hadn't done and jumping right into the fear, I suggested that he sit back and just be grateful for every second of awareness that he has had to prepare for and get ready for this time. I suggested that he sit down and make a gratitude list, which is a total lifesaver, and boy, does it change your energy. Make a gratitude list of all the people in your life who you love. Make a gratitude list that include on it all the preparations you have made, emotional, spiritual, mental, physical, all the things you have been able to do. But more than that, be grateful for the fact that you have a heads up and you understand what's coming. And this list will not only shift your energy, it will make you realize how much you have. And then I suggested that instead of worrying about the stuff that he hadn't done for his, I think we all need to sit back now, especially right now, and realize that this is all 7 billion of us going through this together at the same time. That's what we have to understand to achieve a conscious evolution as a species. I'm firmly convinced that Mother Earth's going to be fine. I am firmly convinced that a red line was crossed in the universe this spring, because we human beings, or those who have ruled and created human beings, and those who have farmed us and lied to us and hidden our truth from us, their time is over, but they will not be allowed to destroy this planet. Now, some people have commented down the last 5 minutes. Have commented that, you know, what's this Rupert suddenly going off on UFOs? For the record, and everybody who knows me will know clearly that for all of my career at FTW, through the books I said, I do not discuss UFOs. They may be real, because it was my clear understanding spiritually from what my task was, that if the moment I brought them up, that anything that I had done by way of investigative journalism would have been instantly dismissed. That was outside the cover of the state religion. So I and my mission was to fight the state religion using its own crooked rulebook. And that's the mission that I was relieved of this spring for the transformation that has brought me here as Tracker of Truth. So, for the record, my dad, I know, knew about it. I've got pictures that I have shown recently of my father with two separate four-star generals in the Air Force. And my dad was the liaison between Martin Marietta, Central Intelligence Agency, and the U.S. Air Force on the Titan IIIC and Advanced Space Systems. He flew backseat and interceptors over the North Pole during the Korean War. Damn right he saw him. I couldn't talk about them. I knew they were extremely important. I knew they were real. And I knew that stuff all had a direct bearing on what was going on. But my job was to fight them, the powers that were, on their own turf, using their own words, because that was also how I was able to penetrate into most of your lives over the course of my work and wake you up to the fact that something was fundamentally wrong. And how many of you would never have listened to me the first time? Said, oh, he believes in UFOs. See, it's a matter of changing consciousness. So that's a very important thing to remember and to consider, and I will not accept any explanation of events that does not include and reconcile in a unified theory, not only the hard journalistic documented work that I did in crossing the Rubicon with 1,000 footnotes, and not all the science, the great science that people like Greg Braden and David Wilcock are bringing to our attention, hard physical science, particle physics, the ancients, and Mother Earth. There will be no answer until we find a unified answer, because it's what we leave out what we are told not to look at and what not to talk about, that's what's really causing the problem. And all of that is becoming clear now as we stand on the cusp of the last quarter of 2012, and the energies are changing. And this is going to be an amazing ride. Stay in love. Stay in gratitude. Stay in gratitude. Find people to help, just to calm, just to cheer them up, because the more you vibrate that way, the more you're going to experience of that. And that's where our consciousness has to go now. I'll say this before I go. If you want to write to me in rags, please send it. I'm loving reading this. You can write to me or rags at 27378 Red Cloud Road. Red Cloud Road, two words. Moffett, Colorado, 81143. And since I've been talking about how I'm seeing this wonderful generation, part of it, of young people in their 20s and 30s who no longer have a place to live, they're living in their campers, and they're moving back and forth. There's a lot moving through this valley, through Colorado, doing great pilgrimages, if you will, all up and down some of these sacred regions. And if you'd like to camp here, Doug Lewis and I have a great spot where you can camp and plug in. So send us an email, and we'll have a spot for you. Until then, this is Mike Rupert on the Lifeboat Hour, PRN FM. I will see you next week.